Can we just recap for a moment where we left off last week? So we were talking about the question of, is there a real obligation of having a Sudas Yontif in the sense of having bread? How do we get onto this topic? Because the Gemara spoke about the Mishnah on Shabbos and then potentially the Mishnah on Pesach, which would lead us to believe that there is some kind of a chiyuv of reminiscing the Nisim of the Mon on Yontif. We saw that it's slightly different than on Shabbos, and Shabbos requires Gibel Sudas, and according to our practice, Yontif suffices with two Sudas, but at least two Sudas, and presumably at least those two Sudas should be comprised of bread. That was a simple pshat. So we pointed out last week there was actually seems to be a contradiction between two Sudas. Thanks so much.
That's why that was number 24 up there.
Okay, so we have to touch him up there. Okay, keep touching him. Thank you. Sephora is a Kabbalah. It's also good. So we pointed out that there seem to be two Gemaras that talk about this topic. Each one says something different. In well, that's right. That's right. The Gemara in like the old days before we had phones, before we had computers with it. So the Gemara in Maseches Brachos in the seventh parak speaks about if a person benches and forgot to say Ritzeh, forgot to say Yalav Yavo. So the Gemara says that we have to repeat the benching. Why is that? Because you have to eat bread. So since you were obligated to eat bread, you were obligated to bench, you were obligated to say Yalav Yavo, so you missed it, actually you blew it. So that Gemara seems to indicate that there is a real formal obligation to have a Suda made up of bread on Yontif, just like on Shabbos. The problem was is that the Gemara Masechet Sukkah, the second parak, says that after the first night you get a freebie. After the first night of Sukkahs, if you don't want to eat, that's okay. You can theoretically circumvent the entire mitzvah of Sukkah the whole week. How could you do that? What about the first day? Don't you have to eat bread on the first day of Yontif? So apparently not. Apparently, in theory, you could have potato chips and apples and a cup of coffee every day of Yontif, every day of Chol Hamoed, and just completely and totally ignore the mitzvah of Sukkah. So that Gemara seemed to point in a direction. There's no mitzvah of eating the Suda of bread on Yontif. That would resolve that contradiction. So we saw last week one answer, and then this week we'll move on to another answer. So last week we saw the answer that is probably the most popular answer. It's given by Tosafot, by the Rosh, that of course you have to eat as soon as Yontif. What's the Shiloh? What's the suffix? Of course you have to eat as soon as Yontif. Maybe it's Simcha, maybe it's Oneg, I'm not even sure why, but it's obvious. No question here, you have to eat as soon as Yontif. Every person knows you go home from Shul and Yontif, you sit down and have a Suda. That's the Shiloh. What does the Gemara mean in Sukkah when it says after the first night you don't have to eat? That means you don't have to eat in the Sukkah. That means in theory, if it's raining outside, then you wouldn't have to eat in the Sukkah. The first night, clearly the first night is a different ball game. But subsequent days, you don't have to eat in the Sukkah. You have to eat as soon as Yontif. Of course you have to. And if it's sunny and nice and warm outside, must that soon as Yontif take place in the Sukkah? Of course it must. But in terms of being a chiyuv of Sukkah after the first night, that's what the Gemara is limiting. Oh, okay. Okay, great. Okay, good. Okay, now we got it. That's where we left off last week. That according to the most opinions that we showed him, there is an absolute chi of gomor of having a Suda, and the Suda must be made up of bread on Yontif the same as Shabbos. However, there was another dissenting view in Rishonim. There was a Tosfos in Maseches Sukkah, but Tosfos suggests differently. The Tosfos says that in Hanami, Yontif is not a Mechayim. Yontif does not trigger a Chiyuv of Suda. So what does the Gemara mean in Maseches Brachos when it says that in Yontif you have to repeat the Yalam Yavo? That means on those Yom Tovim, on those specific meals of Yontif, where there happens to be another chiyuv for a different tangential reason, and which Yom Tovim have a chiyuv to eat, not because of Sudas Yontif, the Lel HaSeder, because Be'er Tov L'Matzos, the first night of Sukkot, because Sukkot Teishu V'Chamisha which also on Pesach, those are the two nights that you have to eat a Suda on Yontif, and if you forgot Yalav Yavo on those nights, then and only then do you have to repeat the benching. And if you forgot Yalav Yavo on lunch on Shavuos, so you don't have to repeat the benching. There's no chiyuv to have a Suda. You don't have to wash. You have to make Kiddush on Yontif. You have to have Simchas Yontif. You have your bossing. You have your Yayin. You can take a nap. You can do whatever. But to sit down formally and have a bread with a motzi with the whole 9 yards of a suda that we're familiar with on Shabbos, says one opinion in Tosfos, there is no such chiyuv on yontif. So in Shulchan Aruch, we do not accept that view. That is not the Minhag Yisrael. We have categorically rejected that view. We pass in the halacha, of course, there is a chiyuv sudas yontif, no different than Shabbos. The only difference being vis-a-vis shalosh shudas, but otherwise, in terms of bread, both at night and the daytime, we're absolutely chiyuv to eat sudas yontif. If that is the case, what would the din be if a person forgot to bench on Yom Tov? So if you go back to where part of the sugya started, let's go back to the ninth in the Maamar Kamos for a second. Gemara says the ninth in Rav Kamos, Amar Avidi Bar Abin, Amar Rav Amar, Amar Rav Nachman Shmuel, Tovu Hiske Shel Rosh Chodesh B'Tfila Machzir Nosel. If a person forgot to say Yalav Yavu and Rosh Chodesh, you have to go back in davening. But in Benchi, you do not have to go back. What is the difference? Amar Rav Abin, Rav Amar, Maishra Tfila, Maishra Nachzir Nosel. Why is there a distinction between the two? Amar Lei Afla Didika Shalei. So he responded, I also thought this was a question. Why, in fact, is there a discrepancy between tefillah that necessitates going back and benching that not? Ushilti Rav Nachman, and I asked Rav Nachman, "Amali mineidem Shmuel or Shmili?" Rav Nachman said, "I didn't hear it from my Rebbe Shmuel. El nechse anan. Let's figure it out on our own. We're gonna figure out the reason why for davening if you miss Yal Diyavi you must repeat, and for benching not. The answer is very simple. Tefillah dechayvi. Tefillah is a chayv. You have to daven for an esrei. You don't have a choice. Well, you know so. Therefore." If you left out an integral part of the Shemoneh Esrei, you left out Yalav Yavo, you must repeat. Birchas Mezona, Birchas Hamozo, nah. Diboy Och, Diboy Lo Ochil. You didn't have to eat on Rosh Chodesh anyway. You shouldn't fast on Rosh Chodesh, but you're not mechuyav to eat bread on Rosh Chodesh. So since you didn't have to eat on Rosh Chodesh in the first place, Eimar Zirna, so there's no need to repeat. Elameyata, now the punchline for our sugya. Elameyata, Shabbosos, Yom Tovim, Lo Sagi, Lo Ochil. But what about on Shabbos and Yom Tov, where you have no choice, you have to eat? So are you going to tell me that if you forgot Yalav Yavo, you have to repeat the benching? I'm like, yeah. That is the din. If you forgot Yalav Yavo and benching on Yom Tov, you have to go back. So according to the opinion in Tosfos, that this is only talking about Pesach night and Sukkot night, okay? That doesn't impact the other Yom Tov, but we don't accept that. We accept the view. That applies to all the Yom Tov. So, Aloch Lamais, a person forgot Yalav Yavo on lunch on Shavuos, on the night of Shmini Atzeres. Whenever there's a Chiyuv Sud, whenever there's the Yom Tov, one has to repeat the bench. So, Maisa Shrek Achoyo, Rabbi Kiveger was presented with the following question. Somebody asked Rabbi Kiveger that they forgot to say Yalav Yavo and benching on Yom Tov. Should I repeat the benching or not? So, Kiveger says, open up the Gemara. Of course, you have to repeat the benching. What's the Shaila? The person says, you know, Rabbi, I remember. Years ago, I was at an Adam Gadol, the Chosha Rav's Suda and Yotif, and somebody forgot the benching, and the psach that was given is that you don't have to repeat the benching. How could it be? The Gemara says you have to, when 99% of Rishonim say it applies to all Yom Tovim, and the Shulchan Aruch it unequivocally applies to all Yotif. What happened in that story? Wow. Is my memory failing me? Says Rav Kiveger, no. Says you just missed one piece of information. Kiveger wasn't there at that meal 30 years before. He says what probably happened was as follows. Probably the individual who forgot Yalav Yavo was a woman, and a woman does not have to repeat Yalav Yavo, does have to repeat the benching for Yalav Yavo. Why? My high. Managed down the women from the men. Says Rabbi Kiveger that men are obligated in Sudas Yontif. Women are not obligated in Sudas Yontif. Adkan to Rabbi Kiveger. Adkan, the top of Rabbi Kiveger, the Tshuva. In the back of the truth from Kiveger, he then elaborates upon why he made this seemingly arbitrary distinction. Says with Kiveger, let's go back to some of the things we spoke about last week. Assuming there is a chiyuv to eat Sudas Yom Tov, let's pinpoint why that's true. What is the trigger? What is the engine that's driving this obligation? According to one opinion, it doesn't exist, but according to 99% of the opinions, the way we pass it, La Locha, it does exist. Why? Give me a name why. Why are you eating Sudas Yom Tov? So one approach is, well, maybe it's a zechet to the man. And if it's a zechet to the man, then we are going to inevitably equate men and women, because the Gemara tells us in other contexts, the Purim context, Av hein hoy bi'osu anes. mitzvahs that were instituted as commemorating a miracle, generally speaking, the rule is women are on equal footing with men. Women have to get the Megillah, they have to light Neres Chanukah, they have to drink Talakosis. So Rabbi Natan said in Shabbos, they have to eat through the Shabbos. So says Rabbi Kamega, wait a second, it's not Shabbos, it's Yontif. Whoever heard of commemorating the nace of the man on Yontif? It's a throwback to what we spoke about. So Rabbi Kamega says, he doesn't think that the man has anything to do with Tzudas Yontif, and therefore that's not a reason to obligate women in Tzudas Yontif. So 0 for 1. So Rabbi Kamega, let's try number 2. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Zocha v'shama v'dibarecha nemru, whoever is obligated to observe malachas on Shabbos is obligated to fulfill the positive commandments of eating, of making kiddush, etc. Since women are obligated in losasek and malacha, they're included in Shabbos, therefore they're included in Zohar. Says Rabbi Kamega, 0 for 2. Zocha shama Shabbos l'kacho. It doesn't say Zocha shama Pesach Shavuos l'sukkos l'shmita teres l'kacho. So therefore, says Rabbi Kamega, the pasuk Zocha shama Shabbos l'kacho doesn't apply to Yontif. So therefore, that is also not a reason to obligate women in Sudas Yontif. So the Zeichel Amon is meaningless on Yontif because we're not commemorating, we're not interested in the Mon on Yontif. The Zocha v'shama is also meaningless because that pasuk is talking about Shabbos, it's not talking about Yontif. So let's move on. Maybe Simchas Yontif. The Torah says, "B'samach da'ata uvincha uvitecha." You and your sons, your wives, your daughters, the women. So women also have to be involved in Simchas Yontif. So if they go, if women are obligated in Simchas Yontif, and Sudas Yontif is part of Simchas Yontif, but two and two together, women should be obligated in Sudas Yontif. So even though we saw this last week, the Rosh quoted Rabbi Yehuda, one of the Baalei Tosfos, who said that Taka women are obligated in Sudas, that men are obligated in Sudas Yontif because of Simcha. Rabbi Kamega says, what does that do with Simcha? We know what Simcha means. Simcha means Bas of Yayin, according to the Rambam, or Yayin alone, according to many. V'shteit ain't Simcha l'balechem. Go show me a Gemara. There's no Gemara anywhere that says ain't Simcha elevated to Zedai will pass for lechem v'rech Simcha. No such Gemara. And therefore, says Rabbi Kamega, Simcha l'chud, the Sudas Yom Tov L'chud. So we are 0 for 3. Just parenthetically, according to Rabbi Kamega, this becomes very important. According to Rabbi Kamega, who's drawing a distinction between Simcha and Suda, in theory, one can fulfill Simcha separate and distinct from Suda. This is a common shalom. This is always the dilemma of Yeshiva Bachor and Shavuos. He gets invited out to a Suda by one of the neighboring families, and they're eating milchiks and he's going nuts. The Rambam's the Raisa. What do I do? Gaval, basa, what do I do? So I tell the guy, relax, no problem. When you get back to the dorm afterwards, scrounge around somewhere, go find yourself a piece of basa. Before you go to sleep at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, go take yourself a slice of basa. And I was a bacher, so I used to also someone's getting invited out for meals. He never knew who was coming and going. So I always just have a pack of cold cuts in my fridge in the dorm on Shavuos. You can have your Sudas Yontif at moment's notice. You know, a Suda on the trap. You don't have to wash for those cold cuts. According to Rabbi Kamega, I washed, I had my milchig meal. And now, according to those who say, I'm not saying everyone agrees to this, many disagree, but those who insist that Simchas Yontif requires basar, so you can separate Simchas Yontif from Sudas Yontif. I have my Suda with my milchig at 12 o'clock, and then I have my slice of meat at 3 o'clock, and show my swell, according to Rabbi Kamega. But getting back to this story, so Rabbi Kamega says, which we're searching, but what is the engine that's driving the Chiyuv Suda? Everyone knows we're coming home from Shul, Shmini Atzeres in the afternoon, and we're going to sit down, we're going to have a Suda, we're going to wash, we're going to bench. Why? We can't figure out why. Mon, nah. Zoch v'sham, nah. Simcha, nah. Simcha, I don't need bread. Simcha, I can just have a slice of corned beef. So what is it? Okay, give me the Mechayim. What is it based on? It must be that's based on the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim. It talks about Chati Lachem and Chati Lashem. Torah says that Yontif has to be partially for you and partially for the Rebbe Shalom. So we pask it. What that means is Chatzi Lechem, Chatzi Lechem. Doesn't mean you have to sit with a stopwatch and count every second that you did. And then, Gevalt, I had a slice of meat. I got to go learn for 5 minutes. So, I went to a shiur for 45 minutes. Now I got to go eat for 45 minutes. It can be approximately. Chatzi Lechem, Chatzi Lechem. Rabbi Moshe Sternberg raises the question about on Shavuos. It gets very tricky. Because most people have Vishchatz Lechem, Vishchatz Lashem. Moshe Sturmach starts with the assumption that maybe the din of Chatz Lechem, Chatz Lashem only apply to the daylight hours. The daylight hours. The day starts in the morning. In the morning, the guy's davening. He's davening, or he's fast asleep, whatever it is. And then he comes home, maybe he has a piece of cheesecake or something, and he goes to sleep for 6 hours and wakes up, has his meal, and then goes back to sleep for 4 hours. So says Rosh Shlomrich, you were awake for sacco of an hour and a half, and we're not sure what you did the rest of the day. So he says, maybe on Shavuot you can count the night also. Maybe we can, you can count the night as part of the cheshbon of a chatzalecha b'chatzalecha. I'm not sure about that. But whatever the scheduling is, says Rosh Kibager, on Yontif you have to have chatzalecha b'chatzalecha. And he assumes that's an expression of the mitzvah of Oneg, quoted from Kregor in the past. It's an expression of Oneg. Are women obligated to this mitzvah of Chatz Lechem, Chatz Lashem? No. He says, this is a mitzvah, says Sesha, as my grandma. This is not Mon, and this is not Zocha B'Shamor, and this is not Simcha. This is just a plain, old, simple mitzvah, as Sesha, as my grandma, that women are pterus from. And therefore, the Kibbeg says, you want to know what the engine driving the Chiv of eating bread on Yontif is? It's an expression of the mitzvah of Oneg, which is included under the heading of Chatzi Lachem and Chatzi Lashem, and women are exempt from this obligation. Therefore, women are exempt from Sudas Yontif. Doesn't mean they're exempt from Simchas Yontif. They're obligated simply, but Sudas Yontif, women are exempted from. This famous psak of Rabbi Kibbeg. Therefore, the corollary of that statement is, if a woman forgets to say Yalvi Yovu in benching, says Rabbi Kibbeg, there would be no need for her to repeat the benching. It would be a tachabi brachal vatola for her to repeat the benching. That was a famous psach of Kibbeg. So many acharim disagreed with Kibbeg. Many said, "Ah, the whole thing is not true. Women are obligated into this yomtiv, and it's alts the man and tafir of his vaneis, and it's zochav b'shavar, and it's similar." For half a dozen reasons, many acharim disagreed with Kibbeg. Well, Kibbeg is still Kibbeg. So what's the din? What's halacha? Halacha l'maisa, should women eat sudas yontif? Absolutely. We strongly encourage our wives and our daughters to eat the sudas yontif. They shouldn't hesitate. They should have a real full-fledged sudas yontif together with us. Washing, benching, the whole nine yards. But if a woman forgot Yalavi Yavo, would we insist that she repeats the benching? So that we're a little bit more hesitant about. Because if Kibbeg said not to, whether Chum say, yeah, it's a little bit of a pickle. So try to remind your wives not to be Yalvi Yavo. If you forget Yalvi Yavo, it's not so bad. You just repeat the benching. If your wife forgets, it becomes a big, big question. So my Sejak Echoyat happened in my house on Shavuos years and years and years ago. I think it was one of the first Shavuos soon after we got married. We had a few people over for a meal, and two people forgot to say Yalvi Yavo. One was a man and one was a woman. So you're probably wondering, how do you get two people at the same meal? We get one of the odds of that. Very, very simple. It was our fault. And it all started on Purim. My Indian Purim. We were invited to a wedding that year on the night before Tainus Esther. So they thought it was cute. They gave out like Purim benchers. So it had Chris and Megillah in it, and like some of the Purim Davening, whatever it was. And it had benching for Purim on it, in the bencher. Only benching for Purim, not benching for any other day. It didn't have Ritzayda of Yavyavo. It only had Al Nisim benching in it. I didn't know that. I stuck the bencher together with all the other benches. And punk, that Shavuos, we had the bad luck of two people took out that bencher and they benched. And it didn't say Yavyavo. I didn't have the heart to ask them whether they had said Al Nisim on Shavuos. I wasn't sure. But they both missed the Yavyavo. And if the benching is over, they both said, oh, yeah, by golly, something. A little shorter benching today. We both missed the Yalvi Yavo. How'd that happen? Look, it said by Hebrew Rechash Rerush. It wasn't one of them, not Yalvi Yavo. So now the Shiloh was, what do you do? So it happened to be one was the man and one was a woman. So how would you pass it on the Shiloh? So I said, the man for sure should bench over again, and he should be mighty the woman. Even though we don't like, the Gemara says you're not supposed to be mighty somebody in benching unless you're benching with a woman. But the Evid, you can. But the Evid's going to work. So this is better than having the woman risk making a bracha levatola. So kachava. So we had the man benched out loud, the woman answered amen each appropriate bracha, and therefore we avoided the machlokes from Kibbeg and the other rachman. But the bottom line is that the simple reading of Agamar is that there's lechadish on yantif, and therefore there's probably a sud on yantif, and there's bread on yantif. Everything is all the same, and the Gemara that pushed us in this direction was the matzah Gemara. It all started with the thing about matzah. So let's go back now to where the right. Well, that's right. If you go down the road, that's what got stuck into this rut last week. If you go down the root of the mon, then we couldn't quite understand why there's no third suda. Right. Right. That's for sure. Right. That's for sure. Even on Shabbos, let's say if a person has a fourth suda on Shabbos, you don't repeat Ritzay, and the post can say even if you miss the yellow. It shall should you don't repeat Ritzay, because there's some opinions that say you don't have to wash the shell shudders. Yes, the Seder night, you're right, correct. Absolutely right. The Seder night, we would for sure have to repeat. Sukkah night is the same as Rabbi Kirei, because women are not chayavos in Sukkah. But if the Lema Seder, the woman forgets, you have right, 100%. She would have to repeat. There's a difference in terms of how it plays out, that it's Maslaikas in the Gemara, whether the women are chayavos and Sukkah Yantav on their own, or whether it's the obligation on the men, and the husbands, and the fathers, etc., to be Mesameach them. That's a further Shaila. And even if women are chayavos, it's a different kind of a Simcha. The Gemara says that men enjoy yayin, women enjoy new clothing, so it manifests itself in different ways. But according to half to Rishonim, women are chayavos independently in Simcha.
But it could be that when she was off, but if she came back to her dorm, she wouldn't have to.
Right, I would say that's very possible that for a woman, maybe not. Maybe a tsar, you can tell her to have a piece of a kokot if she had her blintzes.
So, but if there was no man there.
If there's no man there, you wonder, what would I do in my heart and soul? What would I do? Would I be machria? I'm sitting in Washington Heights in 1996. Would I be machria against Rabbi Kivei? We probably pass it as the rice. You don't say benchy without saying yalav yovel. It's not that you weren't yotzim in the rice. Yalav yovel is something to drop on it. So I don't know. I'm not sure. Baruch Hashem, we circle
back. What happened to the hard parts?
What?
What happened to the hard parts?
I don't know. The heart of hearts. Leave me over. That can't be machriya. I'll have to wait for it. Of which part? Well, if you hold that, well, that's the thing. If you hold that Suda, if you hold that Suda is part of Simcha, so Simcha, the Torah says, Samach, the Ta'avim, Kabitecha. According to many opinions, Simcha is the exception to the rule of if you hold that it's part of Mon, so then Afe and Abiyos and Ace. If you hold that it's included in Zoch of Shamor, so then whoever's having Shamor is having Zoch. So a lot of reasons. Women, the mice women are having Suda Shabbos. That's the bottom line. Woman forgets for Tzei, she has to repeat. So according to many, it's the same as the Sukkot. So according to many, it does. Yeah. There are some Rishonim who say that one. Yeah, the Rambam seems to say that one. So let's go back now to where the sugya started. This was all on the side. This last 2.5 weeks of Shia was all. The Gemara talked about it, but this wasn't the major thrust of the sugya. Let's go back to the first of the Mamre Kamos for a second. The first line in the sugya, the first of the Mamre Kamos, Amra Papa, Kol Modeh B'Pesach. Everybody agrees that on Pesach, Shemaniach Prusim Asach Shleim Abotzeya, that you take a broken matzah and you put it together with a whole matzah, Ubotzeya, and then you break it. I didn't say which one you break. You put the broken with the whole, and then you break it up and you give people to eat and shine my timer. Why do you have a broken piece of matzah altogether? So Lechem Oniksiv. Because the Torah says it's a lechamoni, therefore it has to be broken. So it's interesting. The Gemara uses a lashon that you take the prusa besoch shleima. You put the broken piece inside the whole piece. So there seems to be two different opinions in the Rishonim what that means. Now, some Rishonim quote, I think Rashi quotes that betzad shleima. Now, he doesn't say besoch shleima inside. He says on the side of the shleima. What's the difference? Why would the girsa be that it's inside? Or why would the girsa be that it's next to? So the chart depends on what your matzahs look like. If you have hard matzahs like we have, how in the world are you going to put one inside? You're going to crack your shmur matzah over to put a piece inside? How's that going to happen exactly? If you have soft matzahs like the Sfarim do, bochapita, so then you could theoretically put one piece inside the other. So the Ashkenazim over the years didn't bake soft matzahs. It's harder. Soft matzahs are hard to keep control of. So it was easier to bake the hard matzahs and keep it clear of chametz and then shine. So therefore the minhag became in the Ashkenazi communities to bake the hard. In theory, if you take flour and water and you make it soft, but you get it baked within 18 minutes. So you can have soft matzahs also. But in the Ashkenazi community, so they never baked the soft matzahs. So why not? So there was a big question in the contemporary post-game. Why is it that in Ashkenazi communities, they never baked the soft matzahs? They always baked the very, very hard matzahs. So there were some who said that it was just convenience. Man, it was easier to make the hard matzahs. They last longer, whatever it was. But others say, no, that it was a minig. It was a real minig for halachic reasons. They felt that it was a zehirus. It was easier to be careful on chametz, on the harder matzahs. And it wasn't just stamatz convenience. It was for halachic reasons because it was a minig tov. It was a minig shal mitzvah. So that chapsa daf kamina bizman hazeh. The Gemara says in the fourth parak of Psachim, if your parents and your ancestors accept upon themselves a certain practice, so if they accept it because it's a mitzvah, because it's some kind of a zehirus, some kind of a chumran halacha that they're doing to express their zehirus and mitzvahs, so then you're supposed to follow your practices of your parents. Al titash tar simech, the Gemara says, that if your parents had a certain minhag shel mitzvah, you're supposed to follow it. If your parents They didn't have a minhag mitzvah. They had a cultural thing. They did something out of convenience. So what are they doing me? So they did X, Y, and Z, but they didn't do it because of any grandiose halachic reason. So that's not bonding upon the children. Minhag said to be a dad, it doesn't mean I have to wear everything exactly what my parents did. So that's the poskim. We're not sure. This practice that we know in our communities, Ashkenazim never ever made these kinds of soft mats. They always had the hard mats like we're familiar with. Was that just simply because it was easier, or was that because there was a real halachic reason that they felt that it's too risky to make the soft matzahs? So that chaps and mean it today. That if you have an Ashkenaz eating in a Sephardi's house, they're serving soft matzahs. Again, soft matzahs are kosher Pesach. We're not being multi laws on them. They were baked properly, and they were baked in less than 18 minutes. And that all the chumras all endure. So no question about it. The question is that a violation of an Ashkenazi minhag to partake of those matzahs. So if you hold that it was a minhag shel mitzvah, and then Ashkenaz mapidin really should not be eating those matzahs. If you hold that it's just a convenience, so then convenience, okay. So then you can have soft matzahs. There were different opinions in the contemporary posting about this. So the truth is, I've only had soft matzahs one time in my life. I had them on Pesach Sheni. One of the guys in my shul made me soft matzahs. I should taste I like the hard matzahs. It seemed like eating a piece of pizza. I thought the hard matzahs were better. But that was the only time. Pesach Sheni, yesh lahokom b'shasachach, even fresh kinazim, can eat the soft matzahs. So again, so if you hold that it's that either you're putting the piece of matzah inside, you're putting the piece of matzah next to it, whatever you're doing, but you have a broken matzah. That's no shy, you have a broken matzah. But what is unclear in the Gemara is, so I have my broken matzah, and I have my whole matzah. Either I have my two whole matzah, one whole matzah, whatever you think, how many matzahs you have to say there. So I'm holding on to my broken piece, and I'm holding on to my whole matzah, and I make hamotzi, and I make alachias matzah. And what do I do exactly? So am I making hamotzi on one, alachias matzah on the other? Am I making them on both? By taking a piece of the broken, by taking a piece of the whole. So the Gemara never says anything. The Gemara just says you take the whole and the broken together and move on, eat, and then move on tomorrow. Was there any protocol? Was there anything that was necessary? Is there any rule that's governing of this Pesach, of this bracha, some reason to believe that you should be making one bracha on one bracha on another, two brachas on another? What exactly do you do? How does this play out for us in terms of Leil HaSeder? There was a major, major three-way machlokes that we showed him. What in the world are you supposed to do? What's the next on the step at the Leil HaSeder? So before we can figure out how in the world the Maxwell House was machriya, how to hold on to your matzahs, so we have to see what the Rishayim say first. So tomorrow we'll try to figure out what the Rishayim said. Then we'll try to make sense as to what in the world we do at the Leil HaSeder, how to understand Shabbos learning. Thank you. Well, everybody. Okay. All right.